6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their best of seven playoff series evened up at 2 games apiece for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. For those of you listening on 680, we're going to return you to your regular programming on 680 News. For others, we'll continue on the Leafs radio network and also on the Leaf website and all this, the fan website. And all that's going. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard. Lots of paper there for Mark Savard to move here. That's like a whole tree as we'll do Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs radio network. We will do the walk to the subway. We'll also hear from head coach Mike Babcock. Chris Johnson will join us. And Corey Hirsch, going to talk a little bit about the goaltending later on, what he liked or what he didn't like. They made it fun at the start, entertaining, and certainly entertaining at the end for Maple Leaf fans. But at the end of the day, that empty netter gave the Bruins a 6-4 win, Savvy.
Whew. I was sweating, Gord. I was sweating both ways. It's tough when you're on the fence here. And I got the Leafs that wanted to score. I want the Bruins to keep it out. I'm going crazy, and that's why I just threw a whole tree in the garbage can. But a real tough one if you're a Leafs fan here. And at the end of the day, though, they came out slow and sluggish to start the third. But if anything out of this game, you can build off that finish into next game, because a lot of people had this game pegged. If the Leafs didn't win it, they might not win the series. And I heard a lot of that today on the radio, on TV, everywhere I looked. So I don't think it's that situation quite yet, but they're going to need a huge, huge effort, and I'll be there for Game 5 live in Boston.
I know, and we'll chat with you right after the game, and of course we're on sportsnet.ca/590, the website as well, chatting about that, what happened tonight, and you'll be in Boston. We'll be back here on Sunday, though. There will be a Game 6, and I think the one point you made at the end is right, that disappointing both. They came out early. The crowd's in it. They get a penalty early. You found out the officials were going to call it tight, so the Bruins get that power play goal 3 minutes into the game. And then a 2-0 lead. Austin Matthews ties it early in the second period. But again, the crowd's in the game, and they get caught on an odd man rush. And we'll go over the goals later on, and all of a sudden, the crowd's out of the game. The Bruins, bang, bang, are up 4-2.
Well, exactly. I don't know how else to put it, but it's exactly the whole game. The first period, again, the refs call everything, Gord. Second period, they put the whistles away. I don't know which way, and I know it's frustrating for players. As frustrating as it is for us, and I know Sam McKee's cried 10 times throughout this playoff series at least, and I'm giving him at least because of the refereeing. And I don't blame him. That second period, not all Boston, but both ways, the whistle went in the pocket. And then you see it come out again to start the third and on, and it's tough. It's frustrating for both teams.
Yeah, it was. And of course, Brian Burke mentioned a directive. We're talking about that after the second game, the officials were told that the refereeing had not been up to what they expected standards. Second game, let everything go. But now everybody knows that's the way it's going to be called, and that's probably the way it's going to be called from here on in. Your last point, though, I like. You're right. This was a hell of a game the last 7-8 minutes for the Maple Leafs. I was saying, I think we looked at each other and go, what a lackluster third period. I thought they were really going to bring it. Zdeno Chara actually scores from the point because he can't believe nobody comes at him after a while. And that ends up being the game-winning goal. But then the Leafs get a couple and actually really are buzzing almost to the bitter end.
They really did. They brought it late, and they really gave a huge, huge effort. It looked like they were going to tie it. And I got, I don't want to call myself calm, but I knew something was coming, you know, in that stretch where they put the pressure on the Leafs put the pressure on the Bruins. I started videotaping, and I sent it out to a couple friends because I actually videotaped before they scored their fourth goal. I had it videotaped live because I had a feeling they were bringing it. We were in the building here. The fans were electric, and I started videotaping, and they scored. And I thought, boy, oh boy, if you're a Bruins player, that last 5 minutes, that clock ticked awfully slow. I can tell you that. And again, Freddie was normal tonight, Gord, and they're not going to win with a normal Freddie. And I'm not putting anything on him. It's not his fault. But when he's normal, they're going to struggle. And at the other end, I'm still not seeing a confident Tuukka Rask. I really am not. Back in his net. Puck's going through. But again, like you said, it's going to be nice to have Corey Hirsch up here. We'll ask him, a professional goalie that played in the NHL, was a great goaltender. We'll ask him his feeling on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's
Yeah, we'll finish our walk to the subway, and we'll come back, and we will chat with Corey Hirsch at some point. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. Chris Johnson will also join us. It was a 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on sportsnet.ca/590.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
A 6-4 victory for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Listening on the Sportsnet website. And, of course, we'll be replaying this a little bit later on, so we'll talk a lot on Leafs Nation postgame. What happened tonight? It's actually coming in after. It's a little different, the playoffs. Everybody's here. Cam Neely's here. John Ferguson Jr., when he was general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, now assistant GM of the Bruins. Bob Asenza was a buddy of yours. He's been the goaltending coach for a while.
I scored on Bob Asenza when he was an Edmonton Oiler. I scored on breakaway. I was with the Rangers, and we always have a giggle about it. He was stuffed in his net so deep, and I still deked him out. But anyways, he's a good friend. He's a Boston Bruins goaltending coach. He's been there, geez, since I can last remember. I mean, it's got to be going on 10, 12, maybe 13 years. But a great guy. And really, they have a great staff. Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, they do a good job. You know, I talked to them a lot during the season. And I'm excited to head up there for Game 5 and watch the Leafs go in there and try and do a number in Boston. It's going to be a tough task, Gord.
Of course, I think both goaltending coaches tonight probably a little, I'd say worried. I don't know what they do exactly, how much you talk to the player, how much you do in general, but wouldn't be thrilled by other goaltenders' performance.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to pick up some key points that they'd like to go over with them. You know, Tuukka, I think, let in probably two that he wishes he had back, the Matthews shot for sure. He does use Warrior sticks now, so that might have been the difference, a little harder shot than with the Bauer. But I think, all in all,
okay. Let's hear from Mike Babcock post game.
Through your decision.
Okay, let's hear from Bruce Cassidy.
Thanks, guys.
Listen, just moving past around. He wasn't on top of his game, and for whatever reason, Heinen has played. You know, with Berge and Marsh when Pasta missed 4 or 5 weeks, did a good job up there. Tailed off a little at the end. I'm not sure Dan can sustain it at this point in his career every night against the top lines, against the top D, but he certainly does a nice job in spots. Pasta and Krejci have played together, so it's just a different look. Johansson's back in. That gives us some balance in the third line, a threat to score with Charlie, maybe a little more than what we had. So just moving some pieces around. Hopefully it gives us a spark. Maybe it makes them think. You never know. It might affect how they do things. I don't think it did. They just, you know, they're going to play their game. But at the end of the day, we still got Pasta back with Berge a little bit. We knew we'd do that. Certainly in the power play and a few 5-on-5 shifts, and it worked out today.
When did you make that decision? Yesterday or was it today?
It was today. I talked to the guys. We were thinking about it yesterday. Part of the problem was, where was Marcus, right? Was he in or out? And then we had I don't want to get in detail every one of our players, obviously, but. So we made the decision this afternoon. Once Marcus got through morning skate, everyone's good to go. That's what we're going to do.
That's fine. Go ahead, Matt. Coach, Pastrnak had two big goals down the stretch. Just talk about what he meant to your team tonight.
Well, he's a guy we rely on to score and create offense and actually play a good 200-foot game. He's certainly capable of that. He's getting stronger on the walls, better defensive player than obviously when he broke into the league. So, playing with that line, that's the expectation, playing against good players. But it was good to see him score. Scorers, when they don't score, can get antsy. And I'm not saying David was there, but we wanted to keep him from going there. So getting his two goals, they get recharged. You know, we're going to go through that a little bit with DeBrus now. He's used to scoring. We got to sort of try to get him to where Pasta is. So that's the next challenge for us. But at the end of the day, it was good for the team. We need it. I mean, he's a guy we rely on to score. I mean, if they went through a whole series and were a goal away, you know, in certain games, they'd be looking for their guys to score right on down the line through the rest of the league.
Steve first, then Matt. Bruce, why do you think you've had so much success on the power play in the series?
Well, our second unit has been able to help. That's something. We were first unit dominant most of the season, and now he's getting the second unit pitching in. You know, we have a few ideas with Toronto over the, you know, we've seen them now over the last year quite a bit on the PKs. There's certain plays we look for. I think we've been pretty consistently successful most of the year. Our power play really hasn't taken a dip. I think we've been top five all year. So those guys are good. They're good players.
A little from Bruce Cassidy. Of course, coaches go one by one to the podium, so it's more centrally done. And, of course, head coach of the Boston Bruins. We'll hear from Mike Babcock momentarily.
I just want to say to everybody up here, we don't need to panic when Mike Babcock comes on. Please, let's just take it slow here. It's the playoffs, I know, but can we just all kind of slow down?
We get excited. You thought it was Babs.
I know.
But it was Bruce.
Let's talk it out. You know, let's be patient.
We don't want to miss one thing.
I can just see the three of you guys on the line. No, you guys would chop that biscuit up worse than Zaitsev.
No. What'd you think of Bruce Cassidy? What'd you think he talked about?
Well, he just talked about exactly what Mike Babcock talks about a lot of times, is his goal scorers feeling good about themselves. He said,
hold on, we got Babs. No, I'm just kidding.
Jesus, wow. Anyway, yeah, I just think he talks about what Babcock talks about a lot. Gordon's scorers feeling good about themselves. You want to feel good about themselves. And I think he talked about Pastrnak. He was getting frustrated. He wasn't scoring. He gets two tonight. He's talking about DeBrusk getting there, keeping him calm. He's used to scoring. And then he'll get there, and they'll get more from every line. But right now, I think I would have to say the edge would go to Cassidy tonight in the coaching matchup. On the road, he was able to get Pastrnak with that other line, move things around. But at the end of the day, they won this game on special teams. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's something that they got to deal with internally and try and figure out how to stop this Boston power play.
The other thing is, when you know, you mentioned it was a great game for David Pastrnak, and the other positive, great game for Austin Matthews. You mentioned the new stick last time. Chris Johnson will join us later. He did an article on sportsnet.ca about it, but it was nice to see him get a couple of goals either. It wasn't Mitch Marner's game as much. Austin Matthews was the guy that had way more of a presence.
It really was. It was nice to see Austin get on the board. They need him scoring. They need him to be big, especially with Kadri out of the lineup. I mean, they need more from him. And tonight, he did that. He scored, and for him to be an asset, you know, we know he's not going to go around and bang bodies, but if he can score goals, he's going to help his team win. But again, still had a couple passengers for me, that third line. I don't know what you do with it, Gord. I think they need more. Willie, Marlowe, and Brown. It's just they're not getting enough from them. So what do you do? Do you make switches like Cassius? Is it time to see Trevor Moore come up? Is it, you know, does Marlowe finally go down to that fourth line? I think something needs to happen. I think Babcock has to make a move. It's like a chess game. It's his turn.
The fourth line has been the energy line, hasn't it? Third line, Connor Brown, unfortunately, took that penalty. You've had Marlowe miss a couple of... I don't know if he's been getting chances in that along the way, but they haven't noticed them as much. So it will be interesting to see if he does a little bit more, because he's got some guys that have been going. Even Freddie Gauthier. Like, I mean, that whole line as an entity, I've been impressed by the little bit the fourth line plays.
Well, yeah, the fourth line's been better than the third line, let's be honest. I mean, they really have. Patrick Marlowe, and no disrespect to him, Gord, he's had the fantastic career. He had white tape, black tape, blue tape by the end of the game on his stick, and it still didn't work out. I think it's time for Patrick Marlowe to be on the fourth line. Give Trevor Moore a chance. He has so much energy, Gord. I loved when he took on Big Chera there in the second period behind the net. He took 3-4 runs at him. Big Z was not happy. But I think it's time for Marlowe to drop down. And I know that Babcock loves his veteran players. He lives and dies them. But please, Michael, if you're listening, and Mike, if you're listening, and I know you're coming on here, you're going to cut me off any minute. So please put Trevor Moore up on that third line.
Yeah, Marlowe, 16 minutes, 34 seconds of ice time. Shots on goal, by the way, 42-31. The Leafs outshot the Boston Bruins. Austin Matthews had 7 shots. Morgan Rielly had 5 to pace it. Mitch Marner, what do you have? Mitch Marner just had 1 shot. I wondered about that. You know, Mitch Marner, he had one pass off as well, didn't he? There were a couple of times when they passed off that way as well. So anyway, a lot of shots on goals the Maple Leafs did. We mentioned about Austin Matthews and his presence tonight. A lot more forthcoming. The Leafs do lose 6-4. Leaf goal scorers tonight, Zach Hyman from Rielly and Tavares. Matthews from Johnson and Hainsey. Matthews again from Marner and Rielly. That was on the power play. Here's Mike Babcock.
Here he is, guys. Here you go.
Mike, in a best of three series, what factors can tilt this in your favor of a home game? And
well, I thought we had real good energy tonight. I didn't think we had the kind of brain all the time that we wanted to turn the puck over. Two real big mistakes on the penalty kill that I thought we ended up giving up freebies. But I thought we had good energy, and for periods of the game, I thought we played really good, but too many turnovers in the first period, trying to play too high octane instead of just looking after the puck and playing right like we've been playing. So, but I thought we had good energy. I think three of the four games we've had real good energy and did lots of good things. Just got in our own way a little bit here tonight.
Mike, did having Pastrnak on a different line change your look of that matchup at all, or no?
Not really. I mean, I thought we were set up good for that, to be honest with you. I wasn't concerned about that one bit. And I thought Willie's line was very good tonight. Had lots of ozone play, lots of opportunity. So it didn't, as the game went on, it didn't matter to me whether I played Matty or him against them. So I thought our matchups were fine. That, to me, wasn't it. I mean, we just made some mistakes. We pinched when we shouldn't have. We gave up some opportunities we didn't need to give up that we haven't been doing.
Mike, the success that they've been having on the power play, how much is it what they're doing and how much is it that you're not doing?
Well, they got real good players. Let's not kid ourselves. But those two goals tonight are, I mean, we covered this morning and we didn't look after it. So, you know, that's we got to fix it. Bottom line, you can't give those power play goals up. To me, those were just freebies, those two. Not that they didn't make plays or anything like that, but we weren't in the spots we were supposed to be in. And in the end, you got to do what you're supposed to do. And if their scheme's better or their player executes, then albeit. But you got to do what you're supposed to do.
Mike, 3 years in a row, you're in the playoffs, and 3 years in a row you have bottom of the league penalty killing. How do you account for that?
Oh, you mean in the playoffs or during the year? Playoffs. Oh, I don't know. I think we had pretty good penalty kills since I've been here, pretty good. But it isn't good enough right now. And I don't think the great thing about it is the series isn't over, so we don't have to live with that number. We can still fix it.
Anything else? Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, the penalty kill didn't sit well with him. I think he was talking about in the playoffs. I don't know exactly. But, it's interesting. I think that first goal really epitomized what he said, that they killed that penalty so well against Connor Brown. And then in the last 20 seconds, again, give the Bruins credit for a nice play. But it seemed like the Leafs were going to have momentum, energy from killing that penalty, and it just didn't happen.
No, it did not. And we talked about special teams being the difference tonight. But again, Gord, the Bergeron line finally won that matchup. You look at the minuses here. You got Tavares at -3, Marner at -3. Nikita Zaitsev at -3, Zach Hyman -3, and Jake Muzzin. So he had everybody on that he wanted, and it didn't pan out for him. It's his turn to make a move, Mike Babcock.
Chris Johnston, of course, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada, joining Gord Stellick, Mark Savard. It was a 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Chris, do you believe about what Savvy says, the chess match, and the clock is with Mike Babcock, maybe to think about a move or two?
Well, I certainly do, you know, especially with the Game 5 to be played in Boston and the Bruins to have last change. You know, I think it's going to be on the Leafs to you know, try to see if there's ways that they can gain a little bit of edge with the lineup. You know, I thought tonight, though, you know, the Leafs didn't necessarily get in matchup trouble so much as, you know, the penalty kill let them down with a couple goals in the first 25 minutes of the game. And, you know, I thought that they spent a ton of time playing offense at 5-on-5. Just didn't get the breakthrough soon enough. But, you know, I actually come away from this game thinking the Leafs didn't play that poorly. But they obviously didn't get the result they wanted, and it's just such small margins come playoff time. So, you know, I do think that the Leafs are going to have to look for a little bit more edge, you know, on come Friday night.
The one thing that's glaring out to me, Chris, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is the third line of Nylander, Marleau, and Brown. I mean, they need more from that hole. We lose Kadri. You know, he's out for the series. I love the way Trevor Moore is skating, and nothing against Patrick Marleau. He's been a great veteran, played a gazillion games. But is it not time to give a little energy to that third line, and Moore would provide it, I think, 100%?
Yeah, I would support that. You know, I actually thought that Nylander looked pretty good tonight. You know, had a couple chances where he shot one wide, one high that stand out in my memory. But, you know, those guys played a lot of offense and did okay in their matchup. But you're right. I mean, the biggest thing they lose, I think, with Kadri out of the lineup is that line is not really as well equipped to score. I mean, when you had Nylander and Kadri as two-thirds of the third line, you know, we saw them hook up on a goal in game one. And, you know, just given what those guys can do, I think that there's a little bit more offensive threat there. And you know, maybe it has to come from more. You know, I'm not totally against seeing Patrick Marleau play as a fourth-line center. You know, if you really want to, you know, figure out how to make all that work, you could have him, you know, down there with Fennis and Brown maybe, bump more up to play on the third line. You know, I think that there's some options here. And you know, the Leafs are going to take tomorrow entirely off while they travel down to Boston. And, you know, I would expect we'll see a little different look. Certainly some you know, mixing, matching when they get to Boston, just because that's what you tend to get as the series go on.
Big difference for me was Freddie tonight. He was normal, and if he's normal, I don't think the Leafs can win this series. Do you agree?
Maybe. I'm not as strong on that one. You know, I really thought the Leafs could have won this game. And I'm with you that he was normal tonight, certainly. But, you know, it was still there for them. You know, there was, you know, give Tuukka Rask some credit. Actually made a really nice save on Connor Brown in the second period. Would have made it 4-3 at that point. Might have changed the complexion. I didn't like Freddie on the fifth goal. I know it went through Bergeron's legs there in front, but, you know, to me, positionally, he could have been in better position to have that one hit him. And, you know, he's been pretty darn good for the first three games. So, you know, I don't know if he's reached a point of concern yet, but, you know, with having to win two games out of three now and meaning at least one of them has to be in Boston, you know, they're going to need him to weather some storms and you know, handle some rough moments. I mean, it's just a fact of life. You know, you're not going to go into that building and, you know, have everything locked down and playing tight. You know, there's going to be some times when the Bruins get a flurry. Their big boys still didn't have a ton of ozone time tonight, but, I mean, give them credit. They Pasternak with two goals. Marchand got a goal. You know, they still managed to create some offense without a ton of good looks. And you know, you hope your goaltender can make one of those saves, because if that had to happen, we'd be still watching overtime right now.
You know, it just seemed like it's full of moments, right? And what was disappointing about that first power play goal was the Leafs came out strong. The Leafs killed 80% of that penalty really strong. And then a power play goal by the Bruins. And then you get, as well, after they tie it up 2-2. Austin Matthews goes great, and then all of a sudden they have that odd man rush, a little bit of flub, and the Bruins then make it 3-2.
Yeah, and, you know, like kind of a key sequence there. And you know, I thought it was a tough night for the Tavares, Marner, Hyman line. You know, they've rightfully earned a lot of kudos in the series. I think they have played pretty well on balance, but they got outplayed tonight by the guys across from them. And, you know, they have the toughest assignment in terms of the Toronto forwards, and they just didn't manage to generate much offense. They got scored on a couple times. And, you know, I look for a bounce back from them, just given how good they have been. You know, to see Marner only with one shot on goal, you know, it just wasn't quite enough to see a victory here tonight. And so, you know, I think that there'll be a bit of onus on them to author a response, you know, much the way I think the Bergeron group did. And, you know, it's going to be fun, man. This series is probably as tight as we thought it was. And, you know, game seven seems to me to be what we're ultimately headed for here.
If you ask me, Chris, too, refs not their best game again tonight. They came out calling everything, and then the second period they put the whistle away. I don't get it. It's one of the few sports probably in the world that when the playoffs come around, the refs change their strategy, put the whistle away, and I don't think the league wants to see that. But I thought the first period, like I said, they call everything. Second period, they miss a lot of stuff. Do you agree with that?
I do. You know, I don't quite get it either. I mean, some of it's left over just from, I think, the sort of older way of thinking, the older school way of thinking. You know, obviously, I get the refs don't want to decide a game. They don't want to be the difference. They want to try to let the teams sort out who deserves to win. But you know, in deciding at times not to decide the game, they inadvertently decide the game, if you know what I'm saying. And you know, I think that there definitely could have been more calls, you know, even both ways. It's not, you know, I'm certainly not saying the Leafs got jobbed on all the calls by any stretch. But, you know, to see the quick power plays as we did, you know, the Bruins had one the first couple minutes of the game. The Leafs had two subsequently after that. And then just it went away until the third period when Matthews got his second goal. I mean, a little bit puzzling, but at least it's fair for both teams. And you know, you just never know what you're going to get. It's the way it is. You know, even watching these games on the nights the Leafs aren't playing on TV, you know, some games are seeing 7 or 8 penalties called in the game apiece, and it seems in this series it's been way less than that.
Yeah, and I know Brian Burke mentioned, he said that a directive had been given that the NHL said the officiating had not been up to standards for the first two games. So we saw, I guess a difference in Game 3, which helped the Leafs, and there were more called. And then tonight, yeah, Wes McCauley, to me, I still think is the best official. I'm biased. I wasn't big. I thought it was kind of chintzy offensive zone to Auston Matthews, but you still have to clear those, you have to kill those penalties off and whatever. It evens itself out at the end of it. But I think, you know, Savvy and I were chatting our walk to the Subway point. You know, just that end of the game there at least leaves a real positive taste. The fans stayed because it was a pretty lackluster third for about 10, you know, whatever it was, 10 minutes. And then that was a real buzzing Leafs team. And the fans were pumped, and it was a nice way to finish the game.
Yeah, it was honestly, I thought it was a fun night. You know, the crowd was pretty good. You know, there were lulls, you know, when they tied it back up 2-2 and then probably go down 4-2. You know, it got a little quieter in the second. But, you know, as the Leafs built up some time in the ozone and had a few chances, it rose with that. And then, you know, even after 5-2 and you get those two quick goals by Matthews and Dermott, and, you know, they were buzzing again at the end. I mean, it's night and day from what we see in the regular season. I thought there was an urgency to this game. You know, I think both these teams know pretty well that Tampa got beat out last night, and as good as Columbus is, you know, one of them now has a little different path to moving on than they would have before. And, you know, there's a lot on the line here. So, you know, I thought the crowd was good, and we know it'll be great on a Friday night in Boston. I mean, I don't know if most people going to that game are even going to work on Friday afternoon. They'll probably have a few adult beverages and make that building what it is. It's such a great place to see a big game.
Chris Savvy's got real good news for you.
I'll be down there, big boy. I'll be down there for Game 5.
Oh, baby, what are you doing?
Well, I don't know yet, but I know I'm at the game, and I'm bringing my lovely wife down, and I don't know anything besides that I'll be in the alumni suite. That's all I know.
Okay, I'll alert the proper authorities then, Savvy.
Well, please do, and then we look forward to you can join us in person there. Savvy's going to join us there. Thanks very much, Chris. Always appreciate it.
All right, guys. See you Friday.
Chris Johnston joining us, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame, a 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And great to have in the city Corey Hirsch, of course, from Sportsnet, former NHL goaltender, now doing the Vancouver Canuck games. And now, first, you're here for a couple of things, just to watch and touch on two things, because you're a big advocate about mental health, mental awareness, and that is something you keep very busy with.
Yeah, so I speak to high schools and middle schools. I have a program with CAMH we call Game Changers. If anybody wants me to come speak at their school, it's free. It's Hudson's Bay has donated generously a lot of money to get me out to these schools. And you go to CAMH.ca/GameChangers and fill it out, and I can get out to your school and speak to your kids. So thanks for letting me bring that up, and it's a great program. So I spoke to a school today, yes, and while I'm here, I can get some work done and watch some hockey games.
Yeah, A.Y. Jackson, near my alma mater, George Vanier, in North York. So, again, we'll get more of that, Corey, as well. So, yeah, just joining us for a bit, I know Savvy enjoyed chatting. Your pass wouldn't have crossed. No, like, Corey was done with
a little bit. Career, but not,
a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, on the ice, but with the Rangers. You were gone from the Rangers when Savvy came, right?
Or he's a year younger than I am, I think. How old do you know?
42.
Yeah, well, I'm 27.
Yeah. How come you look so much better? I don't know which one I'm saying.
I've been all over
to.
Gordy. Yes. That's too bad.
What about the goaltending tonight? It's a goaltender's a singular thing.
Yeah.
And
over the course of 7 games, you're going to every goalie plays one stinker. Freddie wasn't that bad, but he had to be better. The fifth goal is the game winner. So the way I look at it is you got to keep your team in a position to win. Scores 4-2, you have to make that save. That can't go in. You got to keep your team within that striking distance. Once it got to 5, I mean, when you saw the Leafs get back to 4-4, well, what's the difference in the game? A stinky goal by Chara from the point.
I talked to you this at length when we were sitting up here watching tonight, and I said that I've played with Tuukka Rask, and I've watched him. His game change in the playoffs. He looks like he's a little shaky. He's not himself. Can you add to that a little bit what you saw?
I just saw a guy that was a little bit passive He's usually more assertive, kind of on top of it. And then you would talk to also about with Tuukka there too as well. And they could have taken advantage of Tuukka early. And you had said that Tuukka hadn't, it didn't look quite like you had known him. And he didn't. So both goalies were equally, but the save that Tuukka makes in the second period is a game changer. That was the difference. The one he made, was it?
Brown, I think.
It was on Brown.
Yeah.
So there's your difference in the hockey game. Freddie, I didn't see Freddie really make that save. He made one in the first to keep it from going up to three, but there you go. There's that save that keeps them early within striking distance. He doesn't make it in the third period, and that's what happened.
Now the Leafs tie it up 2-2, that Austin Matthews goal we just talked about. So when the crowd starts chanting the opposing goaltender's name, and justifiably so, in a sense, like sometimes they chant it and it doesn't make sense, right? They're just whatever. So here you got a goal that, okay, was savable, and now you're loud and whatever. What's it like? And unfortunately, the Bruins scored so quickly, but what's it like being that goaltender, getting the mock applause and getting the name chanted by the opposing crowd?
You know what? It's Savvy probably knows too. You don't really hear it. You just kind of, you're so focused, and you're always focused in the game. So, you know, I would probably turn around in my neck, grab a drink of water, throw an F-bomb, and then go for a skate. That's what you do, and then you just kind of forget it. But it's great that the fans, it's great for the atmosphere, it's great for the fans. And unlike Mike Melbury, who I saw in the hallway today, I said, "Hey, Mike, how are you?" He said, "Hey, bud." So, you know, he has no idea who I am or what my name is. Maybe we could have got someone to tell him what my name was. But, no, as far as a goaltender, that stuff just, I mean, you're more focused on the game, but it's great for the atmosphere. I loved it. I hope they keep doing it.
You know, and at least, you know, and going back to the Leafs here, at least they, you know, they look like they started slow in the third, but they brought it late. And I think if anything, that bodes well for game five. It gives them a bit of confidence going in because they got a tough task ahead going into Boston, I think.
They do. I think the pressure comes on Boston now to win that home game, does it not? Going back to Boston, they'll have a little bit of momentum. But you see the shift. You see the swings out. You've played in enough playoff games and enough big-time hockey that you've seen it a lot. But going back to Boston, the penalty kill's got to be better. I was down there listening to Babcock. And that's all he talked about was we got to fix it. He didn't really say anything in particular that they need to do, but can't be giving up power play goals all series long. I think they're running at 60% right now.
So we won't see Yaroslav Halak in this series, I don't think. I guess see what Game 5 brings. More my point was, and Savvy said it as well, Bruce Cassidy was pretty critical of Tuukka the other night after Game 3. I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. He was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Tuukka has just been okay. And Savvy, we talked about this in between periods and that. But Tuukka, I thought, was just okay. And what did you see? What do you notice? You know him better than anybody.
Well, yeah, and I was trying to talk about it earlier. During the regular season, he looks big, strong, and he stays in that butterfly. I noticed him getting this crouch in the playoffs, and I said to you, sliding out of his net, almost over-committing on a point shot that gets tipped. He looks like he goes this way, and he's really lucky. And I thought on that Austin Matthews goal again, I think, and it goes through the bench. You know that as a goalie. I mean, these guys, especially late in that game, I said to you, with 5 minutes, the clock was ticking real slow if you're a Bruins guy, because I think that goes to the belief in your own goaltender a bit. And last year he struggled in the playoffs, and like Gord said, Halak's right there too. He knows if something goes wrong that Halak's ready to go.
You know, there's some teams, and Gord, you've seen this a lot, like think of a backup that Marty Brodeur ever had that could actually push him. They never had one, right? So now you bring in Halak, maybe that weighs on Rask a little bit. He lost his job early in the year. You think of Patrick Waugh, he never really had a backup that, like, and Lou Lamoriello used to do that on purpose. I used to, you're my guy.
Yeah.
And he would bring in a guy that was never, ever going to take over.
No, because you're right. Sometimes you have a great tandem, but that's not good because the guys are always thinking, right? Yeah. I just remember years ago, before you were there, Ranger, but Bob Froese was a great guy with Mike Richter. You know what I mean? A guy that, and Marty Baron later became that kind of backup as well. I admired John Garrett's honesty once because I asked that whole thing about partnership that goes about goaltending. I said, was it ever about, he goes, once with Greg Milne. So two broadcasters. And he just said, but the point being, he wasn't anti-Greg Milne. They were in Hartford. He just said, we didn't know each other's role. Like our roles weren't defined, so we were just kind of pissed off a lot, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
I'm not as old as you two guys, but I remember Chris Terreri stealing the net for about a week back then.
a whole week.
Yeah, right? Well, you had very little to do if you remember that. We had more worldly lives. Our lives. Chris Terreri for a week. So, hey, Lou, put Scott Clements in that time like it cost the Leafs a playoff spot last game of the season.
Yeah.
The Islanders, they needed the Devils to beat the Islanders. Teddy Nolan's Islanders won, and actually John Ferguson Jr., it was his Leafs that didn't get in on that last day.
Oh, that's right. Well, so if you're Freddie Anderson, though, like, you know you're playing. There's nobody else. So there's kind of a quiet confidence in that as a goalie that you're the guy. When you know that you're the guy and that you're playing and you don't have to look over your shoulder at a guy on the bench that's trying to take your job, sometimes that helps. That helps your confidence. We know who's going to be the starter in Game 5 for Toronto.
Yeah, but I would think barring, I don't know, it would take a lot. I couldn't see him if the Leafs win one, would he put Halak in a deciding game, because that's game, set, match.
Yeah, well,
being like a typical media guy, criticized all the time. You talk too much about the backup goaltending, the seventh defenseman, and the 13th forward.
And then who was that guy in Pittsburgh that we couldn't remember?
Oh, my goodness. So he's at NHL Network Radio. This is Corey Hurst sitting in with Rob Simpson, myself, just taking calls. And then some guy calls from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and he brings up the name Matt Murray. He's the star of the season. And we don't know very much about him, right? Then we look at his stats and go, holy crap, this guy had AHL seasons like Johnny Bauer had decades ago. His stats were off the chart. This is before Matt Murray was even a whiff of him being in Pittsburgh. So anyway, but we're all looking at each other like, and we always remember that brilliant caller.
Like, what? And I was trying to pretend like I knew who he was.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take a break. Come back. 6-4, the Boston Bruins defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, we're on again on Friday, Leafs Nation postgame. Savvy will be in Boston as well with Chris Johnson, so we'll hear him reporting back from then. And we're going to be back here at Scotiabank Arena on Sunday, and we will have the game for you on the Leafs radio network. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Corey Hirsch, 6-4 win the Bruins over the Leafs. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on sportsnet.ca.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame on sportsnet.ca. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Corey Hirsch joining us in our Scotiabank Arena broadcast studio. So great to have him here tonight as well. A 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, an empty net goal makes it seem a little bit closer that way. Corey, you cover the Canucks. Do you think the Canucks are, we were talking earlier, like some similarities, aren't there?
But where the Leafs were 3-4 years ago. But what I do see is I can see exactly the differences now. Just watching the Canucks all year, they've got some good young players, some good pieces. But watching these two playoff teams, even if the Canucks would have snuck in the playoffs, it would have been a 4-game sweep for somebody. They're just not at that level at this point. But the Leafs have done some really good things. But Canucks are starting to get some players. They're starting to get some guys that want to come there. So hopefully in the next few years it changes a little bit.
That's a big thing for me. Do you think Jim Benning's aggressive this summer? Is it time to, the Islanders have a lot of nice guys coming up on the UFA market. Is it time? And another question, two-part question, is Markstrom the guy there now as a number one guy?
I think so. I think Markstrom had a really breakout year. He did it consistently. So it was. He played 60 games, and he was good for probably 55 of them. There wasn't many games where I was like, geez, he just wasn't very good. You have to make some bold moves, like what they've done here, getting Tavares, getting Patty Marleau. You have to do some bold things. So Jim Benning, I say this is the summer he has to do it, because they got to at least knock on the door next year. And the model that they need to follow is exactly what the Leafs did. You don't want to give up a bunch of things and totally, lose patience. But you do need to make some bold moves and get some pieces and start doing things like that. And hopefully guys will start to want to come there. And it seems that way right now. I mean, who doesn't want to come to the Leafs now? I mean, who would have wanted to come to the Leafs 7-8 years ago?
Right.
I was the goalie coach for Vesa Toskala and Curtis Joseph. And nobody at that point wanted to come to the Leafs, probably because I was the goalie coach for Vesa Toskala and Curtis Joseph.
But there's only so much you can work with in Vesa Toskala.
Oh,
it's been an interesting period of time that way.
I could not get him to work. I could not get him. He didn't want to do anything.
Yeah. I couldn't hit him if I tried. I got a couple hotties against him, to be honest.
That does not surprise
well,
me.
And that's the nice part about Freddie Anderson getting the goaltending settled. And, you know, I don't want to rain on Columbus's parade right now. Let's face it. The winners of this series are going to play the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, you know, do you think a foregone conclusion that Sergei Bobrovsky is going to Florida? I mean, what's your take? Or do you think maybe he'll rethink things?
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I thought when they didn't move him and Panarin, I thought both of them would be just sour, and I thought they would pretty much just pack it in. I thought that I did that, kind of went through my mind, and they didn't. And I'll give them credit for doing that, because some guys do, because they were looking to be moved at the deadline. They weren't going to re-sign. I thought Calgary should have made a bold move for Bobrovsky and tried to get him at the deadline. I don't know what's happening behind closed doors. I don't know if Tree Living made a call. But now that you look at what just happened, if there was a team that didn't make a bold move that to get him that could have, you got to be kicking yourself how he's playing.
For sure. And I think to answer your part of the story, you got to think with Quenneville going to Florida, there must be something that he knows that we don't know. There's got to be some more players coming in there because, let's face it, he wants to go and he wants to contend for a Stanley Cup. He has some nice parts. But I think you're right. Bobrovsky, Panarin, I think the writing's on the wall. No matter what happens in Columbus, they're heading to FLA. On the other side of things, once this season's over and how far Columbus gets, I know that Matthew Shane's not going back. We know Panarin's not going back. We know Bobrovsky's not going back. We've talked about this many times. Is there a pitch for a Mitch Marner at 12.5 in an offer sheet? I mean, these are realistic things now.
Absolutely. Is there more of a time, Gordon, that you've seen where goaltending is – I mean, goaltending is always big playoffs. It's always – but is there more of a time now because of the parity in the NHL and the salary cap that goaltending can make such a big difference in the league? Is that part
ask,
of it?
Ask Savvy's buddy, yeah, who's done a really good job in St. Louis, Craig Berube, but you get Jordan Binnington. You know, whether it's a veteran goaltender, Carey Price having a now solid season again with the Montreal Canadiens, and, you know, them unfortunately falling a bit short, but a nice season, or a kid that just gets a chance and is hot. And, yeah, it makes or breaks, you know, coaches, as we well know, careers that way. And absolutely.
That's the best way to put it. You look at Bob Boudner. He didn't get any goaltending this year in Florida. No. And I feel bad for him. And who's the other guy who lost his job? The other guy, who am I thinking of? Not the one out in L.A., Desjardins, but there's another coach in the middle there.
The Philadelphia?
Philadelphia. No, yeah, not Philadelphia, but he did.
Edmonton.
Edmonton. Edmonton's just a mess. Edmonton's an absolute mess.
Housley. Oh,
Buffalo,
yeah.
Yes.
In Buffalo. And he did not get any saves this year. It got to the point that even players were calling out the goalie, saying, I hope we can get a save. Reinhardt said that one day. He wishes he had that back, I'll tell you that. But, again.
Oh, he did call him out.
He
That's
did call
right.
him out. But, again, when I made my playoff picks this year and everybody picked Tampa in the first round, you look around, and Hershey, you're right. I looked at the goalies. If that was the last thing you look at, goalie.
Yeah.
And even up in Calgary, I said, they're not going to need much goaltending in this first round, but I know, are they going to be able to get by with what they have? So you always look in the nets in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah. No question. When you bring up Buffalo, that's they tried to who's the goalie there again? I'm drawing a blank.
Hutton. Carter Hutton.
They tried to turn him into a number one guy. Well, and he's a great backup.
Well, it showed Tim Murray when he traded for Robin Lehner. It's just too bad Lehner, as he very courageously talked about his demons and battles.
Yeah.
And I think by going public, and it's a lot what you do too, Corey, about that. So all of a sudden, that's what he expected in Buffalo. He gave up a 10th overall or 15th overall pick, whatever it was, to Ottawa. They took White, the defenseman. Yeah,
and I liked the move when he made it too. Yeah. I thought this guy's the number one. I watched him play in Ottawa. You're better with goalies than I am, but I liked him, and he's proven it now.
Yeah, well, he's healthy. It's amazing what you can do when you're healthy. When you're not healthy like that, when you have issues like Robin Lehner, you don't train properly, you don't sleep properly, you don't eat properly. And like he said, he had an alcohol problem. Now he's healthy, so he is that guy. So they didn't make a mistake getting him. He just wasn't healthy in Buffalo, and that's unfortunate that for them. But
well, Corey, great having you by. I know you're doing some stuff in Hockey Central at noon.
Yeah.
And, also, you'll be doing a lot as far as your Mental Health Month and
May's
helping
mental
people.
Health
so.
Month. Yep.
We'll do that. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Corey Hirsch joining us. We'll come back. A 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet590.ca.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, a very empty Scotiabank Arena, a 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they even up their best-of-seven series at 2 games apiece. The NHL playoff scoreboard brought to you by ProLine. Put your knowledge on ProLine, and we take a look what's going on around the NHL. I see Calgary and Colorado a little physical out there. It just got started. Right now, 0-0 in the first period there. But the big one is the Dallas Stars, much like the Boston Bruins did tonight, Savvy, bouncing back and having a big game against the Nashville Predators. Well, it's not over yet, but they're up 5-1 with 8 minutes left in the third period. So we can't award it to them. But that's a big bounce back in Dallas Arena. Nashville had kind of had their number. This has been a real chess match and been really close. But all of a sudden, Dallas opening things up a little bit tonight with a 5-1 lead over Nashville.
Yeah, I called Dallas. You called Nashville. Please don't tell any fibs. I like them still. I've liked them since the start. I knew Nashville's offense hadn't been great all season long, and Bishop is having a fantastic year. And my buddy Hudobin, who you like to pick on me about a bit. But I like Dallas in that series, and they're proving it tonight, Gord. They're fast. They can score. And like I said, they can keep the puck out of their net.
I just talked about it. I respect your friendship with Anton Hudobin. I thought he's playing well. But when we were on Tim and Sid, I thought you were shilling for time for him. That's all I meant, you know, about that. But, hey, you know what? Ben Bishop, we just talked about that with Corey Hirsch. Ben Bishop had a tough game the other night, right? So they got a plan B they're able to go to.
They do.
And it seems to have worked tonight.
They do. Actually, you know what's funny? I saw Sparks out here in the hall. You know what? You didn't even notice him. You walked right through his legs. You didn't even notice him. You went right through his legs. He didn't even feel you.
Actually, you know, there are more of the not dressed players up here because they don't come here normally, but you saw them on both sides. That I guess there's no room down there. They want to keep guys away from the dressing room who aren't playing. They're out in the warm-up, though. They dressed, you know, like we thought at first, oh, my goodness, why is Martin Marinson playing? Who's hurt?
Yeah, but I'm not sure Marinson snuck in the back door. We said on skate guards, and he hopped on. But be a Leaf for a day. Nick Patan was out there. He had a little spin. but it's nice to get guys acclimated to the
acclimated to possibly playing.
Yes,
yeah.
And just being around the atmosphere in the building, it's a good thing for them. And I'm sure down the road that they'll get an opportunity to play in the playoffs.
You really think so? Nick Patan's going to play?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I was going to say. You hope? I mean, you got
down the road.
Down the road.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know the road. I thought you meant this road.
Down the road.
Down there. I couldn't see what that little exclamation mark you said at the end there about it. We couldn't figure it all out. Tonight's game. You know who impressed me? Charlie McAvoy.
Oh. And you know what, Gord? That's the Charlie McAvoy. Remember a couple years when he made his presence in the playoffs? He came up.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of injury trouble throughout his career so far. And tonight, for me, I don't know if he was a star in the game, but he was one of my stars tonight in this hockey game. Yeah, he started it with that nice goal and a nice feed from Coyle, and then his dish back door. And I wish I never said that Zaitsev didn't have a stick, because it looked like he didn't have one on that play. He looked like he got a little bit of a something happened to him, and he got a little bit of something in the head. So hopefully he's okay. But again, McAvoy can be a difference maker, and he proved that tonight playing along Big Z. Big Z looked a little sluggish to me at time, and I like how the Leafs are picking on him a bit, especially the littler guys going at him. I get a chuckle from that, and the fans love it too. Anytime the Big Z goes down the big tower, he's going to get a cheer even at home. If guys knock him over, he'll get a cheer.
There was one of those Davy and Goliath moments when Mitch Marner did it and just stripped him of the puck there. But, I mean, the ultimate thing, he wasn't able to put it in. But still, you know, good hustle. And, yeah, there were just really like I said, they're just moments like this game. And, you know, it's kind of like a symphony, not trying to be corny. There's just so many different sections. There were times where the Leafs were kicking ass and really in control. And then the Bruins, man, those, you know. And again, Mike Babcock still says they shouldn't have had those easy plays. But whatever that someone's given you, you still have to execute it. It was very sweet. It was like that first goal in game one, that the no-look pass that Marchand made to Bergeron, right? Even though it ended up being their only goal, and the Leafs came back and won the game, you realized how sweet that was. And you've seen that play many times.
I have, and they were in full effect tonight. And they got to find a way, Gordon. I know the rest have been tough to stay
stay out of that penalty box. That's first and foremost for me. The Bruins' power play is lethal, and as Cassidy said, it's been in the top five the whole league, so the whole year. So that's something the Leafs got to be aware of. I don't care about their penalty kill. How about not go on the penalty kill? And last but not least, I know we got to run here, but please, please put someone on that third line. Moore and Ennis with Nylander. Do something just to add a little bit of bite and a little speed and energy to this lineup.
Well, we'll see what happens, what he does for game number five. It'll be Good Friday in Easter in Boston. We could have an afternoon game here Sunday. We'll find out. It could be. We'll find out another home game looming for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Starting time, or brunch.
Yeah, we'll get the gang together and figure that one out. We'll come back, of course, with more. It was a 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Series tied at two games apiece. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet590.ca.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Demand. 6-4 win for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard in a empty Scotiabank Arena. Of course, you can catch us on Sportsnet590.ca right now as well. And just quick one when we're taking a look. It was so many goals to go over, so we didn't really play back all the calls. But looking, guys, that starred tonight, David Pastrnak. I thought you made the great point about David Pastrnak in that he hardly played in the first
2 minutes
period.
And 59 seconds in the first period, Gordon, then 8-something in the second. And what did he end up with on the night?
He got about 6, and he got 16 minutes, 53 seconds. So but the 8 minutes in the second period, he scored 2 goals. So it's weird. Only to play about 2 minutes or a little under 3 minutes. So he gets 2 goals for Boston. Nordstrom gets 1. Zdeno Chara got what proved to be the game winner. Brad Marchand, and Marchand got the empty netter, didn't he? Or who got the empty netter? Nordstrom got it. And then Charlie McAvoy had a goal. So Brad Marchand had a goal and 2 assists. He's +3, the Leaf killer. They were a lot more effective, weren't they, against the Tavares line that way.
Well, they won that matchup finally tonight, Gord, but Pastrnak was in and out. Heinen played a big role in that line tonight, and they came out on the winning end of that matchup. That's a matchup that's going to play on for the rest of the series, and who wins it will give their team a better chance of winning the hockey.
For the Toronto Maple Leafs, Auston Matthews scored twice. Zach Hyman scored once. Travis Dermott also scored. Nice shot. And they made it close, guys, with multiple assists. Morgan Rielly had 2 assists. Yeah, John Tavares, that all those guys were -3. You pointed that out. Jake Muzzin, Zach Hyman, Mitch Marner, Nikita Zaitsev, and John Tavares were all -3, which was all the even strength goals because there were some power play goals out there that way. Shots on goal, 42-31 for the Maple Leafs over the Boston Bruins. So let's hear from Auston Matthews. Good game for Big Cactus. 2 goals, +1. 7 shots on net, and you have to like 21 minutes and 36 seconds of ice time, Savvy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he got.
Really?
Yeah, the coach is listening to you.
I'm excited.
Here he is after the game, Auston Matthews.
I just never say never, Auston, but it's a bit of a hole to find yourself to dig out of when you're down quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that was the message in our locker room after the first and second. Just keep battling and find a way. And, I mean, no quit in this locker room. Obviously, I gave ourselves a chance, just not enough.
What had to change after they go up 2-0 that would change for you guys?
I mean, I think especially our line, our first period wasn't nearly good enough. We didn't take care of the puck, too many turnovers, and then, they were good in the power play. They capitalized on it, and we had our chances early in the game on the power play, and we weren't able to capitalize till late. So, a lot of times that's a big momentum shift.
What allowed you guys to play so much in the ozone tonight, Austin?
Finally, just kind of getting nice behind them, and. Hanging on to the puck down low, moving it, creating space for each other. The D were pretty active tonight, so I think that always helps. And when teams like to pack it in and, they kind of give you space on the outside, getting guys moving and forcing switches and being able to kind of come downhill and attack, I thought we did a much better job of that tonight.
Well, did you think, what positives can you take from this game?
Well, I mean, we showed no quit. Like I said, I mean, coming into the intermission after the second period, I mean, we were all, nobody was hanging their heads. Everybody was confident in one another that we can battle back no matter what. And like I said, we did. It just came up short.
What have you liked about the power play?
I mean, it wasn't too good there in the, I think it was the first period, but, you know, finally there in that last one, we just kind of got the puck to the net and was able to kind of just deflect it in. And, you know, Johnny's been pretty good on the faceoffs, which is huge for us when you go up against guys like Bergeron and Acherry, guys that are, you know, really good down there. And when we're able to establish the puck and keep the puck and kind of maintain our possession of it and get guys moving around and getting shots to the net, I think we can be more dangerous.
Austin Matthews, you know, I really do think, I know it's a cliche that there's no quit, you always come back. Do you think the Columbus scenario has really hammered that home more about the playoffs? Because that's the most incredible comeback, down 3-0 after one period of play and then obliterating the President's Trophy champion Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that?
No,
you get pretty excited.
Sorry,
you
caught me off guard. I was in a zone there. I was thinking about...
Well, we're worried the goaltender got hurt Calgary Flame goaltender, but I think he'll be okay, Mike Smith. That was interesting about Bobrovsky, about Corey Hirsch thinking that he could be, you know, Calgary maybe should have made a pitch for a goaltender.
Yeah, I found that interesting, too. He had a couple different insights, and it's always good to hear from another voice besides yours and mine.
Yeah.
But let's move on here.
Yeah, I know. We will move on. I got the hint there. We will now go. Let's hear. We mentioned John. Let's go Morgan Rielly, since he had a bit of a better time. Morgan Rielly taking a look at his stats tonight. 2 assists plus 1. 5 shots on net. 24-37. He played, almost 28 minutes last time. A little bit less than that, but he is the leading ice getter for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's Morgan Rielly after the 6-4 loss.
Well, what do you take from a game here tonight? Tough start, obviously, but you guys battled back, and I guess it were able to keep things majority and even strength, dealing your chances in a best-of-three series moving forward.
Yeah, I think so. I think we did good things. I mean, like you said, they obviously had a good start. You know, when you're kind of at risk of dropping 2 games in a series, that's what you expect. So, you know, credit to them, but I think we did a good job of battling back. I think there are periods of the game where we really controlled the play and got good chances, and it's important that we, you know, realize what makes us create those opportunities and we do more of it moving forward.
What are you doing well to create those opportunities?
Just playing well down low. I think when we go through stretches of time where we don't turn the puck over at the blue line, we get it in and you know, work their D and, you know, use a defenseman in the offensive zone. I think that's been working a little bit, so it's important that we meet tomorrow, we talk about what we can do, and we'll try to be better in Game 5.
Considering the success you guys have had 5-on-5 in the series, how much confidence do you bring into kind of the last couple games, your best of 3, going back to Boston?
Well, we have confidence, but it's tied. It's 2-2. Right. I mean, they have confidence, too. So, I mean, we pick back up tomorrow. You know, we'll talk about the same things. We'll refocus, we'll travel, we'll have a good night at the hotel, and it's a big game for us in 2 days.
Where is the level of frustration for him to have 42 shots?
I don't think it's frustration. I think it's a good sign that we're getting opportunities. Obviously, you want to win every night, but you take the positives. You know, I didn't know we had that many, so I mean that's a good sign. We're clearly doing something right, so it's important that we stay focused. We keep with the game plan and, you know, make life a bit tougher on their goaltender, if that's the case.
Hey, last point he said, though, not the one about coming back, make life tougher on their goaltender.
Yes, and if any benefits come of this, again, they did that. They put pucks at Tuukka Rask, and a couple of them, you know, went in, and they found they had eyes. So maybe they're learning something here, some point shots. If they can find some lanes to get pucks through, they seem to find a way into the net.
This isn't like how Robin Lehner's playing for the New York Islanders, which helped stymie the Pittsburgh Penguins. This has been, like I said, ordinary goaltending.
It's got real signs of last year coming on to Game 7. Who will make the last save in this series? And I hate to say that because they're both really two great goaltenders. But at this time here, and Freddie's been great. Tonight he was a little bit normal. You know, it's tough to pick on a goalie in this game.
Well, let's hear what Freddie Anderson has to say. Shots on goal, 42-31 in favor of the Leafs. So not his best effort. Let's hear what Freddie has to say.
What made the Bruins so difficult, especially early on here tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think they came pretty hard and were able to take advantage of some of their chances. And, yeah, probably yeah, came out a little bit harder than they did the other game.
What's not working on the PK in this series?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it since the game. So we'll have to take a look at that and adjust.
What do you see as the key for the team? And now it's the best of three going back to Boston.
Well, I think we show them we can. We play our best. We play with speed and play on their end. Make it hard on the D, and I thought we did a lot of good stuff today too. Obviously, we would have liked a little bit better ending, but happens.
Freddie, obviously a tough loss, but how much could the team build on the fact that you were able to battle back a couple of times and get the scoring chances?
Yeah, like I was saying, we have good a lot of good stuff. We showed a lot of good stuff today, and but yeah, like. I think when we had success in this series, we've got full 60-minute games, and yeah, hopefully we can take a step back to that and move on and yeah, get ready for game five.
Not surprised that given these two teams that momentum's gone back and forth and no one team's been able to seize it at least for two games consecutively.
Yeah, I mean, that's playoff hockey. You have a short memory, but... yeah, anything can change the momentum. Like today, we almost came back and forced overtime. But yeah, like I said, when we play 60-minute period or 60-minute games, we seem to have a little bit more success.
There you go. Always chill, laid back, Freddie Anderson, and of course, props to Sam McKee, Vic Palatin, and of course Andrew Holland, all our technical assistants for our. What's that? Oh, yeah, I got Kyle Norris, too, right?
Norrie.
Yeah, Norrie.
Chucky Norrie back
Norrie.
In the house.
Chuck Norris's brother, Kyle.
Brother Kyle.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like sometimes Freddie's, like, laying in a tanning bed just talking, doesn't it? Like, he's just... he's so chill.
It's
and the only thing that won't change is the color of his hair. He just lays back, and he's tanning. I remember Grant Fury used to do that, believe it or not. He bought tanning beds, had him in his house. And, yeah, he just kept the sun on him.
Well,
but anyway.
It's very healing, very therapeutic.
It is. And it sounds like Freddie was live from the tanning bed there.
Well, John Tavares, he always just is all business. And like we mentioned, a tough game for their line tonight. He did get an assist. 17 minutes, 42 seconds of ice time. Two shots on net, but the line was minus three tonight. Here's John Tavares after the loss.
Did you make a difference in the game here tonight that enabled them to get back into the series, John?
You know, we did a lot of good things tonight. I think we generated a lot of chances, got a lot of pucks to the net. Obviously, time and space and middle of the ice, those areas are limited this time of the year. We just probably made too many mistakes at certain points of the game. Obviously, we didn't probably have our best start tonight, but we gave ourselves a good chance, and we just got to do a better job once we got ourselves back in it, locking it down. And, you know, we generated chances. At the end of the day, getting the W is what matters most, so just learn from it and look forward to bounce back.
Considering how you guys played 5-on-5 tonight, best of three, how confident do you feel going into these last couple of games?
Yeah, we feel great about our team and our game. Obviously, you always want to clean things up and be better. You know, special teams, obviously, tonight, we could be a little better on that side of it, too. You know, it's, these games this time of year, it's very small differences, so just stay with it and build on the good things and just be ready to bounce back. We've obviously done some good things here over the course of four games.
How did flipping Pasternak and Heinen affect the matchup, if at all, from your perspective?
I don't know. I didn't try to really worry about it too much. Obviously, they're trying to create a different look. Just trying to go out there and play hard and execute.
Hey, you know something? John Tavares, he was minus three tonight. He plays hard. He always plays hard. He played hard tonight.
He did. And I don't have to worry about John Tavares in Game 5. You know he's going to come. You know he's going to put in the work. He's going to get to the blue paint and try and be a difference in the hockey game. So I got no worries that he was minus three tonight. A little blip on the radar for him. Didn't have his best game. But they've outplayed that Bergeron line three straight games. Even in the game I thought that they lost. It wasn't the Bergeron line that did all the damage. It was other lines. So I think the JT line takes a little breather here tonight, has a good sleep, heads off to Boston, and tries to do another great job against that top line, which... Cassidy has the bench now, so we'll have to see how Babcock adjusts, too. And then a quick one here, Gordon, I want to throw this in. I got some friends listening from Cartagena. Scotty's out there. Scotty Paul, our friend with a couple of guys, one of our great friends, Mark Axon, his daughter got married out there in Colombia.
Oh, wow.
And they're having a great time. They teed it up today. They all beat it around, though. They didn't play very well. I'm hearing 77 was the low. So, but I just wish them all the best out there.
Absolutely. And one of these teams will be playing golf sometime next week. So this Game 5 where Savvy will be there on Friday will be a big help in determining which team is one step closer. When we come back, we'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll hear a little bit from Bruce Cassidy. Chris Johnston will drop by, and a visit from Corey Hirsch. Get a little perspective on goaltending for one of our broadcasting colleagues and a fellow goaltender. 6-4, the Boston Bruins defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590.ca.